So we have two items left. Carla, let's go back to Council Item 391, and I have some talking points from there.
391, authorize a five-year price agreement for purchase of furniture, accessories, and related services from NewG LLC, doing business as HIMF, formerly known as Smith CFI, for an amount not to exceed $24,128,800.
Colleagues, the mayor has asked me to read the following talking points. On March 15, 2017, City Council issued resolution number 37274, directing the Office of Management and Finance to implement a space optimization plan. The plan was to be intentional and strategic with the goal of creating similarity in design, flexibility, and utility of function throughout city bureaus. These will allow for flexibility between bureau spaces for fluctuations in personnel requirements and will significantly reduce costs over time. We are proposing to make this investment because it will result in savings of $25 million over the next 20 years by using the modern furniture and space configuration to reduce our need for additional office space. The city is financing these costs, and bureaus will pay the debt back through their rental rates. The resolution includes a financing directive for the first major purchase under these standards for the space optimization project to be utilized in the Portland building reconstruction. The estimated cost for the furniture component for the space optimization project in the Portland building is approximately $12,878,000. The city issued a notice of intent to award a price agreement to NewG LLC DBA Hyphen Services on February 2nd, 2018. No protests were received. Existing citywide furniture contracts will remain in place to purchase task chairs and to allow for small purchases in support of existing furniture systems until those contracts expire. At that time, furniture purchases shall be reassessed and may be added to this agreement. That is the preamble. Larry Palat is here to join us again. Larry, take it away.
Well, the preamble covered pretty much everything in the report. The ITB was 729. The project it was actually listed on September 26th in 2017. All the vending community was notified, including certified firms. Seven bids were received and opened on October 31st, 2017. Six bids were determined to be responsive to the solicitation requirements, including all the requirements surrounding availability for product demonstration and sustainable manufacturing. The city had requirements around all pieces of relative to the climate action plan and to minimize, extent possible, the city's carbon footprint, as well as other aspects of sustainable procurement. On February 2, 2018, the city issued a notice of intent to award a price agreement to NewG hyphen company, formerly known as Smith CFI. No protests were received. The contract has been negotiated in the amount of $24,128,800. This is a price agreement that is a maximum spend that is not a mandated minimum spend. The city's intent, as made clear to the vendors, is to use the price agreement to provide first for the move back into the Portland building, roughly in the amount of $12,878,000, and then to bring all city facilities into alignment with the product lines over the course of the agreement. This was a very strategic and intentional process to create a climate of homogeneous design and flexibility among all city facilities. While the process was undertaken at the same time as the Portland building reconstruction and was somewhat driven by that project, it was never part of that budget and was always intended to be a much more functional, inclusive agreement than what would be required to refurnish one building. The process was undertaken and managed by the city's procurement services division. Extensive evaluation and demonstrations were performed, including product demonstrations and a review of the complete kit of parts, that's an industry term, that will eventually comprise the entire line of available product. The lines were evaluated for maximum utility, flexibility by a group of representatives of many city bureaus, community participants, including members of the city's minority evaluator program. Since this is a goods contract, not a construction or goods and services contract, there is no specific aspirational goal for participation by disadvantaged minority women or emerging small business firms. Such firms were notified about the project when it was posted on the city's electronic procurement system, but no certified firms actually submitted proposals. This is a very large contract, might be a little too big for some of, standard small business type firms. If subcontracted opportunities arise relative to installation, delivery, any assembly, the city would certainly aggressively pursue obtaining participation by certified firms. Participating bureaus will be budgeting for the products to be purchased based on this agreement in the coming years as they are identified. The contractor is in compliance with all the city's contracting requirements, including business tax registration and payment. If the council has any questions concerning the solicitation or the resulting price agreement, I can answer those. If there are specific questions relative to individual bureau budgeting and how that will work and how it will be paid back in their rental rates, Aaron Beck is in the chamber to answer those questions. And if there are questions specific to the actual Portland building portion of this, Kristen Wells is in chambers to answer those.
I have some questions, but let's start with my colleagues. Colleagues, questions? Commissioner Fritz?
It was one of the criteria in the evaluation whether the furniture would be made locally?
Local participation was encouraged. The firm that has the successful firm has an assembly point here in the city. They have their kit of parts warehouses is outside of Olympia, Washington. So they are, to the extent possible, local, yes.
But that wasn't part of the scoring?
Not specifically, no.
Because I know that there are some furniture companies that operate in the metro area.
There certainly are. Not generally to the size required to furnish this entire sort of understanding that the variety and the wide use of different bureaus, different assembly, different needs relative to bureau facilities means the firm has to have a pretty wide array of available products.
Yeah, I was thinking particularly of City Liquidators.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Thinking particularly of City Liquidators that has lots of office furniture as well as desk couches, all those kinds of things, and they use local companies to the extent they can.
I think one of the pieces that we probably should keep in mind for this is, and then I'm just going to talk this one just a little bit about the Portland building. We moved about 1,400 people out of the building, but we're moving about 1,800 people back in. So looking at that from a standpoint of all of that furniture really needs to be flexible, but the same thing, the cube sizes and all those kinds of things. Local manufacturing would be problematic. I don't think it's a rule out, Commissioner. I think it's probably one of those things that there will be pieces and parts of this that will have to come together, small fill-in, that kind of stuff. And I think that local manufacturing would have a significant advantage there.
And, obviously I don't do a lot of massive purchases for 1,800 people. Is Nuji a company that is well-known for doing this kind of thing?
Actually, Smith CFI, is with their former operating number, has been in business for since, I think their brochure said, 1981. They're a very well-known national company, yes.
And is there any opportunity for encouraging them to use local firms to make
absolutely
some of their stuff?
Absolutely. For the fill-in piece, when we get to assembly and installation, delivery, all that kind of stuff, we will absolutely work towards that.
Thank you.
So will all bureaus now be required to operate off of this contract for their furniture needs, regardless if they're in the Portland building?
I think the term required strongly encouraged might be better. I know that it's a focused thought process to have homogeneous design, homogeneous insulation, so you could literally move a work set from the interstate project into the Portland building. So that's the thought process. At this point, nothing is that I'm aware of has been that bureaus have been told everything you have you're going to throw away and we're going to replace it with this. The thought process, as we replace furniture, move people around, to redesign, rebuild facilities, we'll end up at, so we're all in the same boat.
Okay. So we are getting rid of everything that was in the Portland building. Is that right?
That's gone. That's already gone. Yes, that's been done.
And what
everything
was
that were in the rental spaces was leased furniture. So all of the furniture that's in, for instance, the Congress Center, stays there when we move out. We move back into a fully furnished building.
And tell folks at home what happened to all that furniture from the Portland building.
It was sold, donated or sold. Sold in some cases at auctions, donated to other governmental agencies or to nonprofits. And Very little of it ended up in the landfill. I mean, some pieces, obviously, but very little.
Do we know the total amount we got for it?
I do not. I could certainly find out and have that information and send it to your office.
I'd be very interested to know. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Mr. Platt, I have a couple of questions. First, following up on Commissioner Fritz's point, I think that this question of how we structure these procurements to promote the buy local aspects is very important. And, you know, we had this conversation recently when Fleet needed to go out and buy vehicles. Mm-hmm. And the council made a clear stated preference for buying cars from dealers that are paying the business license fee and trying to equalize that, because obviously companies outside of Portland that don't pay that tax may be operating at a competitive advantage. So we have a clear record of support for sort of this concept of buy local. I understand the Commerce Clause has something to say about this, so we can't completely structure our rules to advantage local businesses, but I wonder whether we're going far enough. So it's a conversation I think this council is going to want to continue to have with procurement. The second question, though, has to do with just understanding how we came up with sort of guesstimates of what we needed and what the price would be. I mean, someone looking at this ordinance is going to say $24 million for furniture. That seems like a very big number. $12 million of it is going to go into the Portland building. You said 1,800 people are going back to the Portland building. I just used my phone to do some math. If you went off just those employees, and I understand there'll be furnishings for other purposes, you're looking at about $6,000 per employee. So what's the benchmark? How do we know that this is in the right ballpark in terms of cost, reasonable cost for things like furniture and modular items and other things?
Well, price was a significant part of the evaluation process. So basically what we got to was the low bidder. It was a piece of it, so it was not the low bidder necessarily. But price was a significant part of the evaluation. So where we end up with is, as you said, we look at the total furnishing requirements, specifically here to the Portland building, how it's structured, where it goes in, brings in conference rooms and conference tables and all of the additional accoutrements to simply to cubes. Cubes aren't cheap, and nor should they be. What you want is functional capacity for employees to be there, work, do their, not have issues with their surroundings. And so $6,000 seems like a little bit high, I mean, just in my head also. But when we look at it and we say, well, we've got 1,800 people, they have X amount of requirements, the floors are going to look like this, so it's going to be essentially structured all the same. I don't know how to defend the cost of $6,000 per employee. It was looked at, managed, and designed in, and this is where it is. So, like I said, I don't know how to defend that number.
Well, one of the ways that the Office of Management and Finance talks about this, and I know this just because I was given the mayor's talking points, which I read, is that if we... The question that we have to always ask is, compared to what? So we're being asked to make an investment. What are the alternatives? And according to the Office of Management Finance analysis, if we spend a little extra in creating a functional and attractive workplace where we can get more people over time in that workspace, it will significantly reduce our long-term costs in new space. And so that's one way that they look at it. Is that would you care to comment on that?
Well, certainly we have a significant property in the Portland building. We have lots of people tied up. That's not the right term. The 1900 building, and the city owns a lot of facilities and has business interests in lots of facilities. However, if what we can do is reduce the total lease space, the lease rates in the city of Portland have been going up, well, not just apartments but commercial lease space is going up significantly. As we move out of lease spaces and move into our own facilities, as we bring more and more people in, the savings is significant.
Yeah. Okay, that's helpful.
I have a question.
Commissioner?
You just mentioned a $6,000 per employee estimate.
That was math from Commissioner Fish.
I mean, but that would include common areas, conference room. You know, I just want to be clear for people listening. We're not talking about $6,000 for a small cubicle with a desk and a chair and a filing cabinet. This is
certainly correct, yeah. Commissioner. Okay. That is essentially refurnishing the entire building, all conference rooms, all of everything.
Yeah, I just took 1,800, divided it by the amount, and I know that there are going to be other public spaces and public areas. I'm just trying to get a ballpark. Maybe it's only $4,000 or $5,000, but the question is, what do we compare that to know whether it's reasonable? So, thank you, Mr. Palat. Carla, has anyone signed up to testify?
Yes, we have two people signed up, Joe Walsh and Mary Seip.
Okay, thank you. Joe and Mary, why don't you come forward?
If you need me, I'll come.
Thank you. Yep.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. I'm going to call this the Ben Carson caper. Ben Carson spent $31,000 for a table just like this, and everybody in the country went berserk, because he was wasting money, and they couldn't figure out how in God's name you could spend $31,000 on one table. Well, folks, how in God's name can you spend $24 million on furniture? And, Commissioner Fish, you brought up that the intent was $25 million for 25 years. But the documents say $24 million in 5 years. That's a big difference.
Joe, can I clarify what I said? I won't take it against your time, but...
No.
That's not what I said.
If you're asking me, no.
Okay.
You can do it later.
All right.
This is hysterical. 25. I thought it was a typo. I really did. And I said... Somebody even reaffirmed it when I walked in. They said, what are you going to do with the furniture in a Portland building? And I think that was asked. And I think it was answered that they're going to move it back. Or, no, we sold it. It's gone. So that means we have to replace it. And I don't think we're going to Goodwill. We're going to buy all new furniture. So let me put it to you this way. We have a building, the Portland building, that we got screwed on, that we're going to spend $100 million minimum fixing it up, and you're going to put new furniture in there to boot at a total of $12 million. If that doesn't cause pitchforks from the Portland people, I don't know what should be. I do have a request. I know you're going to vote for this. You're going to blow the money. Not coming out of your wallet. You don't care. You're just going to rubber stamp it. These security guys need a chair downstairs. And the $12 million for the Portland building, would you get these guys a couple of chairs? They're all standing around. And they're old. They're not 20 guys. They need a chair. Like that chair there. That should cost you guys $200,000 the way you spend money. This is an outrageous amount of money for furniture. Thank you very much, Commissioner Fritz, for asking some really interesting questions. I had those questions also. I got a phone call last night that was so good. And they said, is that a typo? I said, no, it's not a typo. Carry on. Keep spending the money. However, a lot of one-term is sitting here.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Mary, welcome.
Hi. Mary Seip. Good afternoon. I'm very familiar with space planning. I've done it in my previous career for large organizations, and many of the questions that I had about this were answered, and I, too, appreciate the questions that Commissioner Fritz asked. You know, Ben Carson bought one piece of furniture for $31,000 for one office. This is furniture for 1,800 people that we're talking about. We're talking about furniture that has to last a long time. That this type of furniture needs to be periodically broken down and reconfigured as you need more space for more people. And so it needs to be durable. It needs to stand up to being taken apart and put back together again and again and again. I've watched this happen over the years in places where I've worked, and I've been involved in this. I also have been involved in working with Smith CFI years ago. And just because they maybe aren't, quote, local, most of the companies that are local purchase their products from all over the place. So it doesn't necessarily mean you're getting something made in Oregon, let's say. It would be interesting to know how old was the furniture that was sold from the Portland building. And I can bet it was pretty old, and it was pretty big, and it was pretty inefficient. I completely support this. From the documentation that I looked at and from the conversation here today, I think the due diligence has been done. It is a lot of money, but I think it's an investment. I think the fact that this type of space planning and this type of furniture will help to put more people in smaller spaces but allow them to work efficiently and also comfortably and ergonomically. I think this is important. And what it does, if you stop and think about it, and this was stated, is that it's also going to result in saving money on leasing space. And so, you know, you've got to look at both sides of the coin on this. I know of one instance with the noise control office where their manager, the noise control officer, was in a building clear across town for like a year and a half because of space issues. And it caused him great inefficiencies in his work because he wasted so much time traveling back and forth that he probably got half as much done in a day than what he was doing before. And now, thankfully, he's back here. Let's see here. Let me just see if I missed anything here. Looking at my notes, I think I covered it all, and I appreciate the work that's being done, and I support it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, do you have any follow-up questions?
No, I just have a clarification, if
okay,
I may.
Please.
Because it's actually $12,878,000 for the Portland building. So roughly half of this is for the Portland building.
Right.
So that's about $3,000 per employee, including their share of the community spaces. So at $3,000, that's a lot different from the $31,000 for the table of that happened at the national level. Also, approximately half of this contract is for Environmental Services and the Water Bureau, so it will be paid for through rates rather than by the general fund. So although the contract is with the company to provide all the furniture, some of it's being paid for by rates. And then the debt service, it's also being paid for with borrowed money. So there's $1,800,000 for debt service of the general fund portion and $1,169,000 for the utilities. So when you really start drilling down, if we're going to look at the numbers, it becomes much more reasonable. I also want to say that I assume that the mayor put this on the agenda and gave you extensive talking points because he's in support of this. So my vote will reflect the fact that the commissioner in charge of the Office of Management and Finance is supporting this and would vote for it if he were here.
If I could just respond to one point, and I've been having trouble with my phone, so I'm not going to vouch for this the accuracy of anything. But I just took $12 million and divided it by 1,800, and I got $6,000. And that I didn't put that number out there in order to mislead or alarm. I think, for example, when people come and testify before us and say there's 100 units in an affordable housing development, the total cost is X. They do the math. That's a highly misleading figure because it doesn't take into account common spaces. It doesn't take into account service-enriched spaces and other things. So I just did the math on my phone. What my intent in putting a number out there was just to have someone tell me compared to what?
Thank you,
benchmark. And
yeah.
I'm persuaded mostly by Mary's testimony, in fact, that this is the right thing to do. The mayor certainly supports it. If my colleagues are prepared to vote on it, we'll call the roll. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz.
Well, this is an item that I had sticker shock when I looked at it, and that's why my staff and I drilled into it. I do think it's reasonable. When you look at the cost of things like sitting, standing desks, those are not inexpensive, and yet they save us a lot of money on workers' compensation and in employee health in order to be able to provide employees with the kinds of workstations that are efficient and go between people and, as I say, preserve their health. So I'm happy to support it. Aye.
Aye. The matter passes. Thank you. Colleagues.